Hello everybody. This is the translation of Pascal Girard's message for Sunday, the 18th of July. Kingdom Values, Benevolence. Introduction. God has invested a lot in us, as Peter writes. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 18 and 19. God redeemed us through the sacrifice of his Son, which is the basis of our faith, took away our sin and our guilt, so that something new could emerge. This is why Paul writes, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is what makes the greatness of the Christian faith. Fundamental change does not come about through arduous religious practices, but only through God's action on us and in us. Sometimes we can't really believe it because we don't even feel like we've changed so fundamentally. We still have internal struggles to wage. We are often in a tension between what we think is right and what we would like to do. If you know this tension, then you are a normal Christian. For Paul describes it this way in his letter to the Galatians. "For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. So there is a battle going on within me that I wouldn't have if I wasn't a Christian. But that's the result when God made us new. Paul says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Galatians 5, verse 1. The freedom we get through Jesus allows us to make the right decisions in life. The Christian faith is not lived fully automatically, but always only with our consent. This is why Paul continually challenges Christians to actively reorient themselves. Behaviours and manners must be changed according to our choices. It is the process of spiritual growth in faith. Our sin is forgiven. Now he wants to build something new, but he cannot do it without our cooperation. Let's read the Bible text for today first. The reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 to 32. "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Say the right words. I was a young teenager when I first started smoking. I remember one winter when we went out to buy a pack of cigarettes with a cousin. He was 2 years older than me, and we had often spent our summer vacations together. He was the one who made me light up one to be like everyone else. I didn't really want to, but we actually smoked the pack in less than an hour. No question of bringing it home, of course. But a few words were enough to convince me that smoking would be good. It's amazing what words can do in our lives. They make us feel in the loop, or they hurt us. I guess many of us remember nasty words that were spoken against us, voluntarily or not, by adults perhaps when we were young, and which left a lasting mark on us. So let's listen to Paul, who warns, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." Ephesians 4, verse 29. Paul knew the power of poisonous words, and we all know what poisonous words can do to us. Some suffer from these words to this day. If you've been told over and over again that you'll never get anywhere, it can stay with you for life. Even if you are successful in your life, your self-esteem can remain low. You have been deeply hurt in your soul. Toxic words are like arrows that go deep into us. James described it this way. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. James chapter 3, verse 5. It is therefore important that we take Paul's injunction seriously and refrain from hurling poisonous words at anyone's head. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, Ephesians 4, verse 29, said the apostle. It is much more important that we do the exact opposite, distribute good and healthy words. Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. With good and beneficial words, we encourage people. Of course, you have to think what you say, tell the truth, otherwise you become a hypocrite. But what does Paul actually mean? Is he saying we shouldn't criticize at all? Does he mean we should just ignore anything negative? But Paul didn't just pronounce helpful words. He also made some very critical statements. For example, when he quarrelled with Barnabas before a missionary trip because he did not want to take John Mark with him on the trip because he had left them on their previous missionary trip, Luke writes that they even separated because of this. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Acts 15, verse 39. Or when Paul accused Peter of being a hypocrite when he followed Jewish rules by not sitting down to eat with pagans for fear of the Jews who came to visit them. Galatians 2, verses 11 to 14. We may find other examples in Paul's life. So we see that Paul did not think that as a Christian you should endure anything quietly, only speak good words. Paul knew that there could be quarrels among Christians and that sometimes quarrels cannot be avoided. In all the conflicts that have come to our attention from the biblical texts, Paul has always touched on the conflicting subject in question, mainly matters of doctrine. He's never shied away from pointing out false doctrines and warning against false teachers. But Paul is not making fun of the person. He does not stand up against the bad behaviour, false beliefs of people to humiliate them in order to show his superiority over these people. No, Paul was fighting for Christ. You can disagree completely and remain respectful of the person. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29. We don't do that, then. And I think this is a very special statement. The Spirit of God grieves. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is grieved when we pick on and hurt a person. This is why Paul reminds us of the facts that make the Christian. The Holy Spirit is like a seal that God has placed on you, guaranteeing you final redemption. Let's be aware of who we really are and act so that we can see that we are special by faith in Jesus. For we must bear the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in us. We read, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." Point number 2. Create a fraternal atmosphere. Paul wants an atmosphere to reign among Christians in which people feel comfortable. Anything that could destroy this atmosphere must be banned. We read, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." Ephesians 4:31. We may be surprised at the frankness with which Paul approaches these behaviours towards Christians. It must have been a problem, otherwise he wouldn't have had to deal with it. In Galatians, he even writes, "If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." Galatians 5:15. This is how not only does life become unbearable, but also that God is offended. Who could believe us when we speak of a loving, gracious and merciful God and fail to show it? A fraternal atmosphere must absolutely be established in the church. Paul says, be kind and compassionate to one another. This kindness must be genuine and not feigned, for there is hypocritical kindness which can be used as a weapon. Thus the prophet Jeremiah writes, their tongue is a deadly arrow, it speaks deceitfully. With their mouths they all speak cordially to their neighbours, but in their hearts they set traps for them. Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 8. On the exterior there is an appearance of goodness, but this goodness is only a cover-up for wickedness. This is why Jeremiah urges distrust. Beware of your friends, do not trust anyone. Jeremiah 9 verse 4. In the Psalms too we find this phenomenon of wickedness disguised as kindness. For example, in Psalm 55 verse 21 we read, his talk is smooth as butter, yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. Paul, of course, speaks of sincere and genuine kindness. He lists two characteristics. The first one, be kind and compassionate to each other. Sincere kindness manifests itself in acceptance of the other. Other translations write, instead of compassionate, be understanding. As Paul wrote, it is by bearing one another's burdens that we fulfil the law that Christ gives us. Galatians 6 verse 3. And the second characteristic of genuine goodness is forgiveness, as Paul writes. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Ephesians 4:32. For Paul, there is nothing out of the ordinary that things do not go smoothly in a Christian community. He knows that a reckless word passes quickly on our lips, that promises are broken, that someone is wrongly accused, that someone is lying or disguising the truth, and much more. Such things can happen in a Christian community. Therefore, the willingness to forgive each other is extremely important. To the Galatians, Paul said, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. Galatians 6 verse 1. The Christians guided by the Spirit are characterized by forgiving when someone has sinned and acknowledging it. In Corinth, a Christian sinned gravely. It is not clear what sin this was, perhaps adultery. Either way, it was a serious business, and the church punished this Christian. But Paul says, enough is enough, and they must forgive him. We read, now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him, so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Nor is it about approaching the issue this way. The past is the past, don't fuss, everyone sins, and we all end up sinning. Because at that point, no sin would be taken seriously. But when a person has acknowledged and confessed his sin and made amends if possible, he should not be held responsible for it all his life. It's just impossible. If God grants his grace, why would we stand between God and the repentant fisherman? The church should help him, rehabilitate him. Paul insists, I urge you therefore to reaffirm your love for him. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 8. Do not hold a grudge against him for what he has done, but welcome him back to your community, and not only that, love him, for there is something even greater at stake, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 11. If we do not forgive a Christian, then we are serving the adversary of God, because what interests him is to pit Christians against each other. He wants to sow discord. He wants to destroy brotherhood. He delights in wickedness. We must not allow this to happen. This is why it is important that we heed Paul's admonition. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So, in conclusion, Paul gives us several practical tips for life. Today we have seen that we should have fellowship among Christians. I kicked in an open door. I know we are meant to be brotherly and benevolent to one another, for this is how God is honoured. Now a drawing is being displayed with the overhead projector, and the congregation are viewing the drawing. And Pascal is giving an explanation. He says, "In recent weeks, I have told you about several values of the kingdom of God. On the drawing projected here, which is a simple circle, you read, distributed inside this circle, most of the values that I have presented to you. Honesty or authenticity, humility, respect, daring, perseverance, and today, benevolence. And on the outside of the circle, you will find that which is opposed to each of these values. In the face of honesty, hypocrisy. In the face of perseverance, discouragement. In the face of daring, fear. In the face of humility, arrogance. In the face of benevolence, indifference. According to this drawing, at least. Overall, I have followed these values articulated in the first study of the revitalization of our church union department this year. The last value we will talk about after the start of the school year. It will be unity. Over the past few weeks, I have spoken to you about several values of the kingdom of God. Honesty, humility, respect, daring, perseverance, and today, benevolence. Overall, I have followed these values articulated in the first study of the revitalization of our church union department this year. The last value we will talk about after the start of the school year is unity. Sorry, I made a repetition there. I had it down twice. They are all personal values and to be shared. They seem to go without saying when you see them listed, but it never is. It has never been so in the world, not even in the Christian world. We do not live them in all these values, neither perfectly nor all the time. Even when we are alone, we are not always in tune with ourselves. Even our own behaviour can confuse us. Imagine when there are many of us, the problems that can arise. We blame ourselves for being too blunt, not respectful enough, too pessimistic, not honest enough, and we don't always know how to raise the bar, how to find healthy relationships, how to ultimately be good, not just with others, but also with ourselves. In all the texts that we have read, we have examined these values and seen how we could live them in our lives, better and more fully. May we understand them and integrate them to grow together for the glory of God. Amen.